This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The bond sell-off and just maybe a slightly cooler labor market. From Marketplace, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer in for David Brancaccio. We get the September jobs report tomorrow. Today, we got a peek at the latest unemployment claims. We talk about this and more with Diane Swonk, chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG.
Good morning.
So the Labor Department reported this morning new claims for unemployment benefits, that's a proxy for layoffs, of course, came in at about 207,000 over the latest week. That was less than expected. What does this tell us about the labor market?
Well, the labor market has been remarkably resilient. We expect to see the official data on job gains in the month of September, which is released tomorrow, to come in at about 150,000. That's a cooling from the pace that we saw in August, but still a resilient labor market. One of the things we're going to be watching for in the months going forward is the expiration of COVID-era child care subsidies, which are in that health care and social assistance employment gains. We never recovered child care employment from the pre-COVID levels. That is really important to working parents. And going forward, as those subsidies subside, that could be even more expensive child care expenses. And it could put a dent in a remarkable recovery in women's participation rate in the labor force.
And so much going on in the labor market. Of course, the other big story is bonds. Investors have been selling the bonds they already have, buying new ones that have a higher payout. Is the bond sell-off going to take a breather? And how is it affecting mortgage rates right now?
We've sort of resurrected something that's an old term. The bond vigilantes are back. And that is our political dysfunction is now adding a premium on top of the fact of the resilience of the U.S. economy to these interest rates and making it much more hard for consumers to borrow, especially in the mortgage market. In fact, mortgage applications have fallen to 1995 lows. And it's sort of taken away from the resilience that we have. And it is our concern going forward that all of a sudden an economy that, you know, actually accelerated in the wake of the most aggressive monetary tightening since the 1980s, is now at risk of stalling out.
Diane Swonk is chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG. Diane, thank you.
Thank you.
We're 3 weeks into the Justice Department's landmark antitrust trial against Google. So far, testimony from government witnesses has focused on Google's deals with smartphone makers and wireless carriers to be their default search engine. Soon, we may learn about how that could have affected talks between Apple and another search provider for a default setting on iPhones. Marketplace's Nova Safo has the details.
Default settings can be valuable because many users don't bother to switch to other options. Now, there's word Apple was talking to DuckDuckGo about becoming the default setting on iPhones for private searches. DuckDuckGo is a search engine that claims to provide greater privacy. The presiding judge in the Google case is expected to unseal testimony this week from DuckDuckGo's CEO. That's according to Bloomberg News. The government's case against Google rests on some $10 billion a year in payments to smartphone makers and wireless carriers to keep Google as the default search engine. Microsoft CEO testified this week that it too had talked to Apple unsuccessfully. So far at trial, Google has maintained that it is not an online search monopoly, but simply the superior option. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
In more labor news, around 75,000 Kaiser Permanente workers are joining picket lines in multiple states. They're striking over wages and staff shortages.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
We're aging at quite a clip. Nearly 1 in 6 people in the U.S. is now 65 or older. That figure was less than 1 in 20 a century ago. Many countries in Asia and Europe are home to far larger, older populations, including Japan, South Korea, Italy, and Finland. Aging is often treated as an ominous economic problem, but growing numbers of entrepreneurs and their financial backers are starting to see it as a chance for innovation and profit. For more, let's turn to Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell in St. Paul. He spoke with my colleague, David Brancaccio.
So what, the VC crowd, the venture capital community, is seeing good investment projects in companies that serve an aging population?
Yes, and David, it's about time. You know, like climate change, the demographics of population aging, you know, it ranks among those significant forces shaping the global economy. And you would think venture capitalists, I mean, these are financiers that focus on profiting from major global trends, would have raced into this market. Yet for a long time, a majority of venture capitalists, you know, seem blind to the opportunities. Now, I think ageism probably played a role in that neglect. And so did the attitude of, why risk money in a market where the customer dies soon?
But of course, ageism still runs rampant. What finally woke up these venture capitalists to this market?
So I think there are a number of factors that came together, and the pandemic might mark a turning point. So at a recent conference at the University of Southern California, it brought together entrepreneurs, researchers, industry leaders in the market for older adults. And David, it was really striking how everyone seemed to have a story about taking care of someone older. Perhaps aging has become personal in the venture capital community.
Personal. All right. And the demographics of, for instance, Asia is particularly getting investors excited.
Absolutely. I mean, the number of older Asian people is predicted to nearly triple over the next 4 decades, and no country is experiencing aging on the scale of China. The other thing, David, is people are living longer, they're working longer, and they're living in their homes longer. They want products and services that improve the quality of life and engagement.
All right. One way to process this is we get more high maintenance as we get older. High maintenance is more costly. Firms want to cash in, right? But I suppose if our quality of life is actually improved, the money older adults spend might be seen as worth it.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of the products and services that were discussed at the conference come under this rubric of age tech. So these are products and services that use artificial intelligence, information technologies, digital advances to improve the quality of life of older adults. And at the conference, the age tech market was estimated to be around $1 trillion, and it's on its way to $2 trillion. So examples would include smart appliances, connected devices in the home, wearable robotics, e-learning platforms. And of course, this is opportunities, David. They really extend way beyond age tech. Every industry will see the benefits of investing more to meet the needs and the wants of an increasingly diverse and engaged older population, or they're going to get left behind.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell. One of Chris's books is about opportunities with this aging population. The book's called Purpose and a Paycheck. Chris, thanks.
Thanks a lot, David.
I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.